We give God thanks for his gift of the Holy Spirit, who is able to do wonders through us who are yielded to him. In our previous lesson, we spoke about the coming of the Holy Spirit, how he indwelled the disciples gathered in Jerusalem on that great Jewish festival called Pentecost, or Feast of Weeks. We saw where ordinary men filled with the Holy Spirit became as if they were learned, schooled men because of the Holy Spirit, using them to speak to thousands in languages that only the hearers understood. What a dramatic event that was. There is now a new thing happening, and we will see from the book of Acts that this new thing is driven by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Prayers have become powerful, lives are being radically changed, murderers and wicked persons are coming into contact with this new mighty movement and are dramatically turned around, thereby becoming agents of change themselves. In our lesson today, we will focus on the work of the Holy Spirit in the starting of the journey of a believer and his continued work through the believer. Individuals outside of Jesus Christ do not possess the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, however, speaks to all individuals, bringing conviction and urgent surrendering of the will, intellect, and emotions. Nicodemus in John 3 was told by Jesus that unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He was later told, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, one cannot enter the kingdom of God. Spirit birth is therefore a necessity for one to become a child of God. In verses 6 and 7 of John 3, we read these words: that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. So the Holy Spirit does many things in the salvation process, which is the start of the empowerment process. It is the Spirit that regenerates or makes one into a new generation or creation, Titus 3 verse 5. Millard Erickson, in his book Introducing Christian Doctrine, says, and I quote, "We are initiated into the Christian life through the Spirit's activity in our conversion and regeneration," end of quote. No man can experience salvation without the work of the Holy Spirit. It should be noted that the work of the Holy Spirit does not start and end at salvation. His work is a lifelong work in the believer and on the believer until we are perfected, become like Christ. Paul, in writing to the Roman Christians, teach that without the Holy Spirit, one cannot please God. Furthermore, the Holy Spirit, which is the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, dwells in them and gives life to their mortal bodies. Romans 8, 8 and 11. Believers are therefore saved through the power of the Holy Spirit, and by the work of the Holy Spirit, they are then indwelt. This indwelling is important because it is through the indwelling that individuals will be able to live by the Spirit. It is said that it is what is inside a man that controls a man. So the Holy Spirit, having saved, comes and enters into the believer, taking up residence and abiding or remaining forever. This indwelling of the Holy Spirit, according to Floyd Barrackman, Practical Christian Theology, is instantaneous and non-experiential and occurs once for salvation at the point of salvation, referring to Romans 8, 9 and Acts 19, 2. We should further point out that in this process of empowerment by the Holy Spirit, one is not only firstly saved and then indwelt, but one is also sealed by the Holy Spirit. In the context of our world today, where many are worried about the mark of the beast, we should be more concerned with whether or not we have the mark of Christ, which is the seal of the Holy Spirit. In closing our previous lesson, Ephesians 1, 13 and 14 were highlighted. I remind us of those words: in whom you also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. What is this sealing with the Holy Spirit, one might ask? Well, it is a mark or stamp of approval, a stamp of authenticity, and indicates that this marked individual belongs to God. It should also be understood to mean that there is a guarantee on one's salvation. Paul says that this sealing is only but a down payment, an earnest of our inheritance. An earnest is a deposit. God has sealed the indwelt believer with the Holy Spirit as a sign that one is locked into God, ably secured by him. The sealing of an individual by the Holy Spirit, according to Barrackman, signifies several things. One, a completed transaction, Jeremiah 32, 9 and 10. Security, Matthew 27, 66. Ownership, 2 Timothy 2, 16. Approval, John 6, 27. Authenticity, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 2. Intimate dearness, Song of Solomon 8, verse 6. It is important to remind us that the Holy Spirit is God. Therefore, his indwelling a believer is not a simple, insignificant act. It is God who has indwelt, and it is God who now lives within. In 2 Peter 1, verses 2 through 4, we find these words: Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. According to these verses, all believers are given all things to enable proper living and fulfillment of godly conduct or behavior. In addition to these, the believer has also been made a partaker of the divine nature, or the nature of God. How is this achieved? It is achieved when the Holy Spirit indwells the believer at the point of salvation. The believer is now ready for service in the kingdom of God. As we have seen in the book of Acts, once men and women experience salvation and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, their lives change. They became witnesses of the power of God. We see a man named Saul in Acts 9, moving about seeking to persecute, imprison, kill even those who had decided to follow Jesus Christ and who were evidencing lives lived through the Spirit, coming into contact personally with the risen Christ. This encounter resulted in serious and dramatic change in Saul's life. He was told after his submission to the voice of Jesus Christ to continue on his journey to Damascus, where he would be told what great things he would have to suffer for the cause of Christ. We see this man indwelt by the Holy Spirit, thereafter becoming a mighty force in the advancement of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the very same thing he once so viciously denied and rejected. His life was characterized by sacrifice, suffering, and service for the cause of the gospel. Today, much of our understanding and teachings are derived from his 13 letters to different churches that he either was instrumental in starting or had some relationship with in its growth. Paul, an apostle, has become a truly changed man because of his salvation experience, all attributed to the work of the Holy Spirit. A spirit-filled life is a life that is empowered for service. There can be no effective ministry without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Next week, we shall explore the gifts of the Spirit on our walk by the Spirit.